I put out a family newspaper when I was about eight, something like that. It was like a regular newspaper. My father was a newspaper, so that's how I learned the trade, as it were. But I always added little cartoons or comic strips or whatever to the newspaper to make it more, quote, realistic, more like a newspaper.
You're Robert Coover. It's been about 80 years since you first started writing. Now those newspaper days are long behind you, along with that desire for reality. You're known as a fabulist, a metafictionist, a postmodernist, whatever. Let's imagine you're the main character of your 2015 novel noir, The Gumshoe, trying to dig out what it all means. And there's a journalist hanging around asking questions.
At what point would you say you knew you were going to be a writer rather than you wanted to be?
All right, a fair question. You tell him about the island in Canada. You went there out of the Navy before grad school in Chicago, just you with books by Samuel Beckett and others, and found yourself as a writer.
Up to that moment, I was like any other wannabe writer, thinking about fame and fortune and so on. And I just dispensed with all that and got into the business of writing. And I felt right away, no, this is going to be fine. It's going to be a lifetime. And it has been. So that's what this event this week is kind of focused on, is how we got here.
That island shows up in your 1972 story, Beginnings. It's one you often read for audiences. It has such a great first paragraph.
In order to get started, he went to live alone on an island and shot himself. His blood, unable to resist the final joke, splattered the cabin wall in a pattern that read, "It is important to begin when everything is already over."
Was that you reading? When was that? And what about that accent? Never mind. The festival is in full swing, and you're in a radio play. It's called Gerald's Party, after your book by that name from 1982. Your son, Roderick Coover, is directing. There's a cast of a dozen or so collaborators acting out the setting at a party.
None of us noticed the body at first. That was how, a little over 30 years ago, Gerald's Party began. Literature was infested at the time with a rash of smug, conventional novels about randy intellectuals at parties, and Gerald's Party was launched as a parody of them. The corpse that turns up unexpectedly at everyone's feet on Gerald's living room floor could therefore be thought of as that of contemporary traditional fiction, all the partygoers, its frustrated lovers.
Thanks to Benjamin Nicholson for providing the audio from this performance. Robert Coover wrote and taught at Brown University for 33 years. He considers Gerald's Party one of his works where he realized his vision for a novel. But Coover has been so prolific and varied that there are so many novels to celebrate. Take The Public Burning from 1977. A controversial bestseller, it told the story of the execution of convicted atomic spies Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, with Vice President Richard Nixon as a major character. It caused conservative columnist George Will to call it, quote, a sick fantasy that violated the ethics of literature. For the author Paul Auster, it was something else.
It's a monster of brilliance, and I think he combines in that book a kind of very sharp eye for realistic truth. I mean, all the passages about Nixon, and then the fantastical execution of the Rosenbergs in Times Square. It's an American 20th century masterpiece.
Auster's wife, novelist and essayist Siri Ustvedt, has her favorite Coover novel.
I remember reading Spanking the Maid, and after I finished, I thought, this is a perfect book. It just is a kind of brilliant machinery of itself.
Critics hail Coover as an inventor of postmodern American fiction, a term he dislikes, and he's not alone. All the authors I spoke to said postmodern was essentially meaningless. Here's Oster's take.
I don't think about these things at all. These terms are inventions of scholars and literary critics, and they don't really mean anything. I mean, in my time, I've been called postmodernist. I've been called post-postmodernist. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Whatever you call Coover's work, it remains unique in American literature, a testament to his vision first realized on that Canadian island so many years ago and carried through by his will.
I went ahead and did what I wanted to do, and that was I was very determined to have that happen, and my stubbornness in getting that done is part of the story.
Robert Coover divides his time between Providence and Europe. He continues to write. Recent stories have appeared in The New Yorker, and he's planning another collection, Son of a Night at the Movies. For Rhode Island Public Radio's Artscape, I'm Chuck Hinman.